Well, they weren't going to win every game in the second half. Brewers fall 2-0. It's a shutout loss. Frustrations about the bats are coming out on Twitter. Let's calm down. They still won the series. Let's focus on the positives, and let's get ready for the return of Ethan Small. That's some big news, and that was a very bad pun.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, wherever you may be listening from. Today is Tuesday, July 26th. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brewers all season long. If you haven't already, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. The video version of these pods are posted there as well. I'm the statistician of Bally Sports Wisconsin. I've met just about every single game, was enjoying last night's contest. A good old-fashioned pitcher's duel. And if some folks want to complain about getting shut out, yes, it's the ninth time the Brewers have been shut out in a game this season, but let's be honest, if anybody knows about shutouts and good pitching and being able to appreciate good pitching, it's Brewers fans, given the staff that the Brewers have right now. And I know there's frustration given the Rockies are 9 games under 500 and you think you should be dominating them every single game. It's hard to win 4 straight games in baseball, let alone 4 straight games against the same team. So the Brewers still win 3 out of 4. Look, if you go back to the start of this All-Star break and said, hey, the Brewers are going to win 3 out of 4 against the Rockies, would you take it? And you would take it in a heartbeat, yes. And the catch would be, well, one of the losses is going to be a shutout. But hey, still won 3 out of 4. Still gained ground on the Cardinals. They were idle yesterday, so they're technically 2 games up right now on the Cardinals as they begin the controversial series in Toronto without Arenado and without Goldschmidt. They also won't have Johan Oviedo out of their bullpen, but that's not related to vaccine. That's related to an expired passport, but I digress. Brewers fall 2-0. Offense was ice cold, but let's be honest, Aaron Ashby also kept the Rockies in check because they had been scoring runs this past weekend, too. And I'm sure the Rockies are disappointed with the fact that they only scored 2 runs against Ashby. What a reintroduction for Aaron right after signing the extension. His first outing since signing that extension this past weekend and saying, yep, this is what they see in me. This is what they're excited about. So let's jump into Ashby's start. Let's talk about Ethan Small coming up tomorrow. Some updates down on the farm for you as well. And then get you ready for the Twinkies. The Twins are coming to town for a quick 2-gamer tonight and tomorrow. Quick programming note. Tonight is on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Usual time and place. 6:30 pregame show. 7:10 first pitch. But Wednesday, the Brewers are on the YouTube Game of the Week, which means it will not be on Bally. It will only be available exclusively on YouTube. So just a reminder that tomorrow's game, not tonight, tonight's on Bally, but tomorrow will be on YouTube. So Scott Braun and old friend Dan Plesac will be on the call for that one on Wednesday at 1:10 Central Time. And Corbin Burns will be on the mound for that one against Chris Archer. You got a Cy Young and a Cy Young candidate previously in his past. He's still trying to find his form right now. He's been pitching better this year, but more on that a little bit later on here in the show. Aaron Ashby, man, what a day for him. 7 innings, a career high. 111 pitches, a career high. 5 hits, 2 runs. Both were earned. 1 walk. And 9 strikeouts. He faced the order 3 times through. He did his job in this game. Very fun to watch. Ashby faces the order 3 times through with those 9 strikeouts. Kurt Hogg had this tweet, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Great note about Ethan Small getting the whiffs and called strikes. When you look at some of the modern stuff that scouts and front offices and pitching coaches are paying attention to, whiff rate takes a lot of the headlines, but called strikes plus whiffs absolutely matter because those are 2 things the pitcher can't control, and they're the most important kind because, one, obviously the batter does not make contact with a called strike and whiff, and 2, it kind of gives you a good idea of how much command they have. Ashby had 45 called strikes and whiffs combined in this game. 17 whiffs in this one, second most he's had in a single game this season. When you compare that to the rest of baseball this year, who's had the most called strikes and whiffs in a game? And it's Shohei Ohtani with 46. So Ashby was one shy of Ohtani. And by the way, Ohtani's also done a 45. That's some pretty good company there, to say the least. So Kurt Hogg had that tweeted in yesterday's game. Wanted to give him the shout-out for that. That's a great note. Ashby was really, really good. We talk about Ashby sometimes gets into trouble by throwing too many strikes. But yesterday was a case where his stuff was so nasty. All three pitches were on as far as the sinker, the changeup, and the slider that Ashby wasn't really getting burned with two strikes as much as he normally does. He had 11 0-2 counts in this game, which is absolutely phenomenal, and only three counts even reached three balls. I mean, he had 3-0 on the first batter of the game, Charlie Blackmon, then fights back to strike him out. That's when you knew he was on in last night's game. Yes, a lot of loud contact against him. Five hits, all five hits, exited the bat at 100 miles an hour. But it was kind of a feast or famine type day. And when you throw 97, 98 miles an hour, the ball is going to leave the bat pretty hard too. And there were a lot of strong connections on sinkers. Of course, the home run by Elias Diaz, 101 miles an hour off the bat for that homer. But two runs over seven innings in modern baseball normally is enough to get it done. But that's where I flipped things over to give some credit to Kyle Freeland on the other side. We all know about the struggles the Brewers have had against lefties this season. They're now back under 500 against left-handed pitchers on the starting side. On the other side, they're now 15 and 16 against southpaws. Freeland was really, really, really good. 99 total pitches. The sinker really had the Brewers befuddled, and that's exactly how he gets righties out. He got a ton of ground balls in play. So in total, there were 16 balls in play against Freeland. 10 of them were ground balls, and really no extra base hits, only singles against him. He had a good day, and as I said at the top of the show, sometimes you just got to tip your cap. Freeland pitched well. He earned the win. He just pitched a little bit better than Ashby in this game. It happens. It's the big leagues. The Yankees have been shut out multiple times this year. It's not a big deal. Teams get shut out all the time. In fact, the Brewers haven't been shut out since June. June 17th against the Mets. So it's been over a month since the last time they were shut out. I'm not panicking. The offense was really good over the weekend. They had a blip. Move on. Here come the Twins. I'm not worried about one game of the offense. I know there's urgency, and I know there's a lot of folks worried about the offense. Let's let it play out. Now, if we're talking a week-long slump where they're only going to score one or two runs like we saw at the end of the first half, then we hit the worry button. Then we start to think about, okay, who you got to add? You got 1 week, 1 week from today to decide if you're going to add a bat. And is it worth it to add a bat when you don't know what you got going on the pitching side of things? We know Freddie Peralta's on his way back. We know Adrian Hauser's on his way back. More updates on some of the guys in the bullpen here shortly too. But do you go after somebody for a rental? Do you go after somebody maybe with more team control? There was a report yesterday that at least one major league executive polled by MLB.com thinks that the Brewers are the favorites to land Juan Soto. And it kind of goes back to the Christian Yelich trade, of course. Well, hey, you can go get this major player because you're a small market team, because you don't have to pay him in free agency, which we all know how that ended with Christian Yelich, ended up giving him the extension. Don't need to talk about Yelich right now. But this is where a Milwaukee can be a true factor. A Cleveland Guardians team can be a true factor in trying to get Juan Soto. And if you really want to get crazy, are the Seattle Mariners going to make a bid at him? I don't think they would, but I know I've seen all the rumors that the Cardinals are linked to Soto, and maybe it's going to be the Mets, maybe it's going to be the Dodgers. I don't know. And I stand by my statement from yesterday. I don't think Juan Soto gets traded at this deadline, given it is such a small, tight window. I do believe Soto could be traded this offseason when it makes the most sense, when more teams will have an idea of what they're going for. Because when you look at the playoffs right now, when you look at the current field, everybody that's in a playoff spot right now, I think are going to be the teams ultimately that are in the playoffs. There's not many teams that are going to be able to, you know, round up, rally the troops here down the stretch and try to get things going for the playoffs. I mean, look, the Red Sox, they don't have Chris Sale. He just had surgery on his pinky. He's going to be very limited down the stretch. Tampa Bay just lost two of their key pieces in Kevin Kiermaier and Mike Zunino for the rest of the season. They already don't have Wander Franco, who's got a broken hamate bone. So maybe Cleveland sneaks into that last wild card spot while Tampa Bay will inevitably slide. Does Chicago, the White Sox, make a run? Do they go get Juan Soto and then make their run into the American League? And in the National League, it's really between Philadelphia and St. Louis. I know we talk about San Francisco all the time, but they've now lost five games in a row. They just lost to the Diamondbacks yesterday. So you would think there's more buyers, in theory, because there are more playoff teams. But in the end, there are really only two teams that are on the outside looking in right now that could realistically go add somebody like a Juan Soto that could help them out, and that's Cleveland and that's the White Sox. And if Boston wants to go really crazy, but I don't think that's going to happen. I digress. It's more about this current situation with the trade deadline with the Brewers. I still believe there will be a minor move, but I don't think there's going to be a jaw-dropping, oh my goodness, the Brewers just shocked the world with this trade. I just don't see that happening for the current Brewers alignment and the way things work right now. We'll have a trade deadline special coming up next week, getting ready for the deadline. Maybe there'll be moves happening before that time. As we move along here, we're going to talk about Ethan Small coming back to the big leagues here next. Before we do that, there are always moments that you need to be ready with some fine jewelry for your significant other. Whether you're ready to pop the question, or you're celebrating a huge milestone moment, or a birthday, or an anniversary, you can find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that will help you craft the engagement ring of her dreams. You can choose the diamond shape, the size, the clarity, even the setting style, and Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring, and every single ring is one of a kind. When you're customizing that ring and designing it, or even doing stud earrings or a bracelet, the online jewelry tools at Blue Nile will allow you to create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can even imagine at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler, and they have the diamond price guarantee. You can contact Blue Nile to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs, and in most cases, Blue Nile can meet or even beat their price. And they've got expert advice available 24/7 and legendary service with 30 days returned and guaranteed service and repair for life. And they've got their anniversary sale going on right now. You can save 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, it ships for free, and it arrives in discreet packaging. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to Blue Nile, now like the river, BlueNile.com today. Ethan Small is back from AAA Nashville. If the name sounds familiar, of course, one of the top prospects in the Brewers organization. Made his big league debut earlier in June as part of the doubleheader at Wrigley Field last month. And it didn't go great. It started out strong. Didn't go super great. Didn't get out of the third inning. Walks got away from him in that contest. We've talked about this even before he made that debut, that the walks are the big bugaboo for Ethan Small. The left-hander this season in AAA, 72 and two-thirds total innings. He's getting ready to surpass his inning total from last season. And given the herky-jerky stop-and-go, you know, aspect of the last couple of years in the minor leagues, obviously no minor league season in 2020, delayed season in 2021, and now finally back to quote-unquote normalcy, building up his innings is going to be very important for Ethan Small moving forward. In AAA this year, he's got 81 strikeouts in those 72 innings, 40 walks, though, not exactly great. But it's been a very odd back and forth since he was demoted back down to the minor leagues after his big league debut. Tweeted this at @Dom_Catronio. In his three starts after being sent down from June 8th to 19th, he only threw 11 innings. He had an 8.74 ERA, more walks than strikeouts, 10-9 over those 11 innings. Not great, but he rebounded in the four starts since then. 23 innings in his last four starts, a 3.13 ERA, only 9 walks, and 23 strikeouts. Good to see from Ethan, getting back going in the right direction. For him as well, he's very well rested. He's obviously been a starter all season long. He hasn't pitched since July 13th, so it's nearly been 2 weeks since he last pitched in-game action. He was originally scheduled to pitch on Sunday at a finale for the Nashville Sounds. But that was the day that Freddie Peralta made his first rehab start, and it also coincided perfectly that the Brewers knew they were going to need him to make the spot start coming up here today on this Tuesday to make sure that he was ready for that. So they scratched him from Sunday, put him here to today to make the start in the big leagues. If you're wondering why it was so easy to get him up, it's because he was already on the 40-man roster. And to make a room on the active roster, Connor Sadzik was designated for assignment. He still could clear waivers and could accept the minor league assignment and go back to AAA, but he's now subject to all 29 other teams try to snatch him from the Brewers organization. So Connor Sadzik is on the outside looking in to join this team, see what comes of him in the bullpen. So Ethan Small getting the start tonight, and looking forward to see what he can do. He's going to face a lot of powerful righties in this order, of course, Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, who doesn't sound like he's going to play. He's not on the injured list. He had an injection in his knee right after the All-Star game. He had a plasma injection in his right knee. They think he's going to play today. Haven't seen a for sure report out of that. That's from Megan Ryan of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. So Buxton, powerful right-handed hitter. Correa, powerful right-handed hitter. Polanco will be switch hitting, batting right-handed. And then Gary Sanchez, of course, and Gio Urshela. It's going to be a tough lineup for him to face here against these Twins. There is good news, though, for the Brewers, despite losing 2-0 in yesterday's game. It means they saved their A bullpen for another day. Tip of the cap again to Jake McGee and to Brent Suter. They've had really good weekends against the Rockies. Both went scoreless innings, an eighth and a ninth inning for those two guys respectively. So a day off for Devin Williams, a day off for Josh Hader, a day off for Brad Boxberger and Trevor Gott and Hobie Milner. So those guys will be ready to go today and tomorrow. And mind you, Thursday is an off day, so I would expect to see the entire A bullpen active for both of these games, which would be very helpful for Craig Counsell against a first-place team in the Minnesota Twins. That's a couple of things to look out for in that. Let's get into some minor league updates here. Let's start with Jake Cousins. And Jake Cousins has been out for the majority of this season, dealing with an issue in his right elbow, his throwing arm. He is now headed to the Arizona Complex League. He is going to make his first rehab appearance since taking his PRP injection, sitting for 6 weeks, started to play catch again, starting to throw off a mound again. And then if this all goes well in Arizona for his next appearance, he will go to Nashville and AAA and continue his rehab assignment. So he could be back sometime in August and helping out this bullpen, getting things healthier and the vibe going strong, right? So that's great to hear. Freddie Peralta, no setbacks coming out of his first appearance in an actual game that counts off of a mound against Nashville on Sunday. Again, he's on a five-day schedule, so we would expect to see him on Friday if things go according to plan with him and the Nashville Sounds. Good news in that regard as well. As far as actual minor leaguers right now, you may have seen the headline that Jackson Churio has been promoted, the number one prospect in the Brewers organization. Churio, only 18 years old, and he is now in high A. He is the youngest player in advanced A in all of the minor leagues. That's really freaking cool for Jackson Churio. His numbers in low A Carolina in the Carolina League, 324 average, 373 on base percentage, 600 slugging as an 18-year-old in low A. In his first year stateside, mind you, a 973 OPS. In 62 games, he had 23 doubles, 12 homers, 5 triples, 2, and even 10 stolen bases. He is going to swing and miss a lot. He is a free swinger. He strikes out about 1 in 3 at-bats. But when I read off those numbers, those sounded pretty good, right? I'm going to look at the thing I think is going to be most important for Jackson here in high A. It's a small jump, but how will he react to just that little bit better pitching? How will the strikeouts react? Because clearly, the Brewers are very excited about him and trying to move him through the organization. I think he's going to spend the rest of the year in high A, don't get me wrong. But how he performs in high A, and then following that up with maybe an instructional league or maybe how well he does next year in spring training could determine how long he stays in high A next year. Because he's not turning 19 until March. There's no reason to rush him to double A, but if he continues to turn heads and surprise some folks, you could see him in Biloxi a lot sooner than maybe people think at some time in 2023. Another quick update from a guy in Biloxi right now, Sal Frelick. How about the former first rounder from 2021? Since coming back from a hamstring injury on July 6th, he's now got hits in 12 of his last 14 games. Of course, minor leagues are off on Mondays. But 12 of his last 14 games, he's got a hit. He's hitting .411 over that stretch since coming off the IL with a .460 on base, a .1032 OPS, three doubles and two home runs as well for the speedy Frelick. Really encouraging to see from Sal. Garrett Mitchell's also on a hot tear, hitting over .400 in the month of July. They got it going on down there in Double-A Biloxi. And I don't think either of those guys are going to be obviously contributing to the big leagues this year, but down the road, you're going to be taking a peek at what's going to happen there. Let's get you ready for the Twins. Let's also talk about the headline you might have saw yesterday as far as international draft goes. I want to talk about the Sports Card Investor app first. If you're a casual hobbyist or if you're a full-on side hustle man or woman about sports cards and trading cards and the boom that it's in right now, you have to learn about the Sports Card Investor app. It's the hobby's most powerful resource. You can quickly check the value of your favorite cards. You can find great deals and then profit from that hobby love. Look, they're collecting dust in your closet right now. Might as well put them on eBay and find some buyers for it. It's available completely free in the Google Play and the Apple App Stores. The Sports Card Investor app is an absolute must-have, not just for baseball fans, but for any sports fans. Completely free, over 600,000 cards are available to view with their market data for a 7-day window and even a 30-day window. You can find the best prices directly through the app and even buy them through the app with the eBay deals feature as well. You could be someone just casually trying to say, oh, hey, I got an old Mariano Rivera rookie card. Is that worth anything? Or if you're someone who's like, well, maybe I should put some stock in this Julio Rodriguez. Oh my goodness, I have a Fernando Tatis Jr. as a White Sox. That's got to be worth something. All of that is available on the Sports Card Investor app. We're pretty much done with CBA talk. I thought we were, but it was a long offseason. One more CBA update here. And you may have seen this headline from yesterday. The qualifying offer is back. The Players Association and Major League Baseball could not agree on an international draft. You may be asking, Dom, what the heck are you talking about? Well, remember when the lockout ended? There was one more stipulation in order to get the season going and make sure you get in 162 games was, hey, we're going to push the international draft topic on the back burner until July 25th. That was yesterday. And say, if there's not a deal in place by July 25th, the qualifying offer will remain in play. The status quo. The Players Association have wanted to get rid of the qualifying offer. It was only introduced about a dozen years ago. They also wanted to institute an international draft. At least Major League Baseball wanted to institute a draft. And the Players Association wasn't entirely against it. However, if you're familiar with what goes down in the Dominican and into Venezuela and into not Puerto Rico because they're subject to the draft, but Cuba, it's a shady business of talking to trainers when these kids are 12, 13 years old. There are handshake agreements made when the kid is 14 years old and then officially signed when they're 16 years old. And it's become a bidding war as far as the best facilities. It's almost like I can liken it to college recruiting. As far as the best facilities, who has the best fields in the Dominican, who's going to take care of me the best, who's going to take care of my family. It's a very, very, you know, shady kind of handshake. You get what I'm saying. But there's thought in baseball that it's time to implement an international draft to clean things up and to give more teams the opportunity to have that international free agent, a Dominican superstar or a Venezuelan superstar or insert country here superstar, that maybe they wouldn't have had access to because of these behind-the-scenes handshakes deals that, quite frankly, shut out a lot of smaller market teams from getting the high-end elite prospects. And that's where international scouting comes in. But I digress once again. The point is they cannot reach an agreement on signing bonuses and how long the draft would be, guaranteed money, and things of that nature. So what's the qualifying offer? The qualifying offer is eligible to players who are due free agency, basically mid to upper tier free agents that maybe most small market teams are not going to be able to sign to a long-term deal. Let's say, just for instance, if Christian Yelich didn't sign that extension in 2020. Well, he would have been owed, you know, a lot more money than what the Brewers would have given in the qualifying offer,
But at the end of the 2020 season, the Brewers, if it was normal, and he didn't sign the extension, the Brewers would have offered him the qualifying offer, which means, hey, we know we're not going to sign you long term, but when you do inevitably leave for more money, we get a draft pick in compensation in return for you leaving. Some teams are very hesitant about the offering the qualifying offer to a free agent that they think is worth less than the qualifying offer, but they do deep down actually want to keep them, and vice versa. The player is going to reject the qualifying offer knowing that they can get more on the open market. And then it hurts their value of being signed because that team that signs you thus loses a draft pick to the team. That's the competitive balance draft picks that you may have seen last week in the draft, the sandwich picks, aka. Nonetheless, that system is still in place. So you don't have to forget about all of that. Don't have to blow it all up. The qualifying offer and the competitive balance and the draft pick compensation are still a thing here in baseball right now. Do I like it? I don't know. It's frustrating given how close they were on the international draft. But this will be off the table for a little while longer. See if they can come to a resolution here in the next couple of years. Want a couple other quick things. Pitching matchups tonight. It'll be Ethan Small, aforementioned, against Dylan Bundy getting the ball for the Twins. Bundy, 29 years old, of course. He was with the Angels last season. It's been an odd year for Twins pitchers this year. They've had some injuries. They're in the market for Frankie Montas for the A's. This year, Bundy is 6-4. He's got a 4.71 ERA, a FIP of 4.09. He'll give up some wild contact. He's not going to strike out a lot of guys. See what he can do tonight against the Brewers. And then tomorrow, Chris Archer, Corbin Burns on the YouTube game of the week. One more thing I want to address. I've seen Brewers fans have been spamming hashtag free Keston on social media handles, on Instagram, on Twitter, and things like that. I want to explain what this all is in case you were lost, like me, when I saw everybody spamming free Keston. Obviously, there's some baggage there. Brewers fans and Keston Hiura wanting him to be on the team. And he was playing well before he was demoted ahead of the San Francisco Giants series before the All-Star break. And Keston hit a home run on Sunday with Nashville, and it came as a home run off of a lefty. Since being demoted, of course, AAA All-Star break is the same time as the Major League All-Star break, so he didn't play last week until this past weekend. Keston is 3-for-10 since going back down, a double and a homer. He's also got 3 strikeouts. When people say, free Keston, bring him up. I understand the fandom of it. I understand, oh, he can help the offense in the blink of an eye. There's still a lot of swing and miss in that swing. He's striking out more than 40% of the time. It's kind of a catch-22 in that you want offense, and you know he can supply some pop, but you're going to also take zero contact on the days that he's not hitting the ball well in Keston Hiura. And plus, he is a defensive liability. I like Keston. He's a good dude. But as the roster currently holds, as they're trying to figure out what they have with Pedro Severino, there's just no room for him while they're carrying 3 catchers. Now, that could change after the trade deadline. Do the Brewers decide once the trade deadline passes and nobody bites on Pedro Severino, then they'll be brought to the fork in the road of saying, okay, well, we're not going to carry 3 catchers for the rest of the season. We're not going to try to get all these guys playing time between Caratini and Narvaez and Severino. You would expect them to cut ties with Severino after the trade deadline if nobody wants to pick him up in the meantime, which would thus give an avenue for Keston to come back to the active roster, but not so fast. With Jake Cousins returning to rehab and Freddy Peralta returning to rehab, both of those guys are currently on the 60-day IL, which means they are off the 40-man roster. When they return, they will need to be added to the 40-man roster, which means the Brewers will have to make some tough roster decisions. Now, in my opinion, Pedro Severino will be one of those decisions. One of those spots will be opened up by putting Severino, you know, DFA'd and opening up one of the 40-man spots to bring Peralta and Cousins back. But the other tough thing would be, well, what do you do with Miguel Sanchez and Luis Perdomo when they come back to the active roster? Because Perdomo's in minor leagues right now. He has options remaining, though. He could stay down in the minor leagues. Then you got to worry about, well, who's going to be the guy that we outright off of the minor leagues? You've got Mario Feliciano, who hasn't made it in the big leagues yet this year. Mark Mathias. Pablo Reyes is currently on the 40-man. Jason Alexander, Trevor Kelly, Peter Strzelecki, Luke Barker, who's injured right now. Those are candidates that you would have to outright and potentially lose in order to make room for one of these guys. That's down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Just wanted a quick update here to close out what's going on with Free Kessin and if there's a realistic path for him to get back to the active roster. I don't know if it's going to happen soon, but potentially after the trade deadline. Okay, big chock full episode of info. That was a big one. Right back here tomorrow. Brewers and Twins tonight, 7:10. See you on television. Bally Sports Wisconsin tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.